Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Brighton Rock Podcast, the podcast about the beautiful club within the beautiful game. And unfortunately, as we turn our attentions to the fourth round of the FA Cup, I was unable to travel, so there's no match day special from me, but I was able to hand over duties for the first of these two Bramall Lane fixtures coming up in close proximity to my erstwhile mate and regular guest match day special presenter Alistair Jones and his mate Nick Ansley. Both Greater Manchester based. They were at the game and it was a happy occasion, of course, as we all now know. But this is how it all unfolded. Over to them.
So, welcome to the Brighton Rock Podcast. My name's Alistair and I'm with Nick in the car, and we're just driving on the M62 from Manchester towards Leeds at the moment, and then we'll be heading south, taking a right towards Sheffield to go and see Brighton play at Bramall Lane in the FA Cup. Last night, there were a few games last night. I suppose most significantly, it was City knocking out Spurs in the last minute and a few other games. The last time we were together was going over to, we went down the road to Stoke, and that was a bit of a fresh day. Started with freezing fog and a few closed roads, with the M6 being closed from the north. We had a really good day, although that first half was something else, wasn't it, Nick?
Yeah, we proved we could do it on a cold day in Stoke.
A cold Saturday. It wasn't. I'm sure they were trying to change it to a Tuesday night so they could go through all of that media hype again. But
yeah, we had to get that cliche in, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah, yeah. But it was 4-2, wasn't it? 4-2. In the end.
Yeah, it was a bit tight first half, wasn't it? We got that last sort of goal.
What a goal as well from Estupiñán. Yeah, that kind of got us level. Probably a bit undeserved, to be fair.
Yeah, and then they came back at us with a penalty to draw, and it looked like we were all over them, and then that got a bit tasty then.
Yeah, and Van Heek, he was right in front of us. We were two rows from the goal.
Yeah.
And the look on his face when that goal went in, and then the contrast, the glee in his face when he got that assist for that goal. You could just see, and he was the last one down the tunnel. He absolutely loved it.
Yeah, absolutely did. And actually, also interesting, the other guy who loved it was Hinchelwood, because you wouldn't have seen it on the telly. But when he came over and he was giving it all the fist pumping and all that, that was really great as well.
Giving his shirt to the boys in the crowd and all of those sort of stuff, the small children.
You know, because we're so close to the front, you could see all those expressions and all the noises they were making, all the shouts and whatever. It's a different view of the game, wasn't it? We were so close.
I hate to say this, Nick, but we've got very similar seats today. That's all I could get in our thing, because we're not season ticket holders, although we go to an awful lot of games. We've got lots of points, but we're always in that window of the kind of the also ran, so we have to get the dregs that are left at the end, unfortunately. But we'll keep coming.
So what do you think about today's game coming down to Sheffield, across to Sheffield, should I say? We're on the wrong side of the Pennines today, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, first of all, we've had to get our passports checked as we went across the Lancashire-Yorkshire border.
Yeah.
But no, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? It's Sheffield United. I remember the first time I went to Sheffield United, Neil Warnock was the manager. And it was like, we got absolutely hammered, I think, in the end. But it was that season that we got relegated from the Championship. Was the first time I remember coming over here. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we go. I think they always do quite well. They're the sort of team that puts together a good cup run. They're quite good at knocking out Arsenal, aren't they, from what I remember?
Yeah, well, they got to the semis last year. Do you remember when we were in the Premier in down wherever it was?
Down in that there, London.
Yeah, Sheffield United fans were in with us, Man City fans were in with us. It was a good weekend, that.
Well, hopefully we'll be following and having the same sort of route together. And we're meeting up with a bunch of people today in Sheffield, hopefully.
Yeah.
So if all the rendezvous work out, got a number of different people that we're meeting at different points around the game. So hopefully we'll get some chat from them and see how we go as well through the day. But what are your reckonings on today then, Nick?
Well, I've done Sheffield United a few times, and usually we do quite well when I go there. But if you remember the away end, the away fans used to be up in the top tier.
That's right, yeah.
And the rake of that stand is amazing. It's so steep.
Mm.
And I remember Leon Knight scoring a last-minute goal. I think it was Leon Knight scoring a last-minute goal against Sheffield for us to win. And there was the tumbling down those seats was amazing. I feared for my life. But I think today we're in the lower part.
Yeah.
I think right behind the goal, aren't we? So we won't have that danger to our lives.
Yeah.
But by rights, we should... You know, on form and all the rest of it, we should win this game relatively easily. I'm hoping he's going to rest a load of players, because he's got Palace, isn't he, on Tuesday night, Sheffield, and that'll be a big Premier League game for them.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of fingers crossed he won't play a full team, and we will. But they've still got that new manager bounce. They've got, is it Chris Wilder? Chris Wilder, their manager?
Yeah.
I can't remember if that's,
yeah, I think
that's
so,
his name. Yeah,
yeah, I'm not sure.
And
we'll have to fact check that. We'll let Russ check that.
Yeah, Russ can check that. We can never get names right, can we? We're going to Sheffield United, not Sheffield Wednesday, remember?
Is it?
Yeah,
oh, right, okay,
yeah.
I better recheck.
So I've got this worry. I've got this real worry that they started to play well. They've got that draw against West Ham. They're starting to build a bit of momentum, possibly. And we just go and wander in, think we're going to win it, and we get given a right game. So that is my big worry, is that.
And we are struggling scoring. Obviously, there was no problem scoring against Stoke, but another 0-0 draw earlier in the week against Wolves.
Yeah.
That was a frustrating game, that was, wasn't it?
That Wolves game was... We had no width, and we didn't use, tried to put it all through the middle.
Yeah.
They just blocked it off, and I just thought they'd come for a 0-0. So
and that second half was really locked down, wasn't it? We hardly had any chances at all in that second half. The first half was our best chance of scoring, and unfortunately we couldn't put any of them away.
But I'm going to put that to one side and say, I think today, 2-0.
Oh no, I can't see us keeping a clean sheet. If we can't keep a clean sheet against Stoke, I definitely can't see us keeping a clean sheet today.
Right.
But I will be absolutely made up with a 2-1 win today if we could do that. However, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up having to take it back to the Amex today.
Okay. Well, that's the last thing we want is a replay.
Absolutely.
But particularly
not with European games on the horizon coming up in March as well.
Yeah, I'd take a draw, but I'd rather we put it to bed today. So yeah, 2-0, 2-0. I don't care who scores. It can go off someone's arse for all I care. But so long as we score. So
And I suppose the other big talking point in football news, it made the main news, and that is of course Jurgen Klopp. Klopp and his shiny white teeth leaving Liverpool and the potential risk to losing De Zerbi as a result of that. Do you reckon De Zerbi will go? We're all just talking like we know him, but of course we've not got a clue what's going on in his head, really.
I don't think they'll go for De Zerbi. I think they like the way he plays. I think they like the style would probably fit the Liverpool style.
Yeah, they're developing younger players, because that's what Liverpool used to do. They don't do it as much now.
I just think they might want to go for someone more established, someone who's got the European experience, who's won things. I've heard Alonso has got a contract with, is it Leverkusen he's with? Well, one of the German teams, apparently he's got a contract which says that if Liverpool or Real Madrid have a job going, they can release him.
Oh, really?
They've got a release clause, yeah.
Wow.
So it may well be. But again, you know, he's Alonso, an established manager at the highest level.
Yeah.
But then again, you look around and there aren't many managers left, are there?
No. Well, most of them have been to Man United and failed, haven't they? You know, so they've not got great credentials, a lot of those managers. Yeah. They could always have Mourinho, I suppose. He hasn't done Liverpool yet, has he?
No, he hasn't had that one.
And he is a free agent at the minute.
Nah. If De Zerbi was offered a job, you couldn't begrudge him going. I just, fingers crossed, Liverpool would say, you know, he's not quite ready for them yet. It would be an obvious choice, but I don't think he'll go.
Right, okay. Well, lots to talk about there, and we'll catch up as we get in the match, and obviously we'll give you our live match updates and a bit of atmosphere from the ground as well. But for now, I'm going to focus on the road again, because I need to turn right, because we're now going past that there, Leeds. A massive club, Leeds, so big that we can't quite see the stadium at the moment.
Yeah, Leeds would have taken more, by the way.
Leeds would have definitely taken more, yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, well, back in a bit. So we're in Sheffield now, at the beer engine, and I have a number of friends of the Brighton Rock Pod all around here. And as you might guess, right next to me, we've got a good friend of the podcast, Wedgie. Wedgie, first of all, you've got something very important to say. What's the main thing you want to take away from today?
Well, there's a lot of fans travelled a long way today. It's a big game for us. We're hoping to get some players back from injury. But let's cut to the chase. We need the 3 points today. We've got to go home with the 3 points.
We absolutely do. Yeah. And you were at Wolves 0-0. What was your takeaway from that? We're not really reviewing that, but it's very hard not to, given that it was less than 7 days ago.
I can't find words to describe how toothless we were. After a break, we ought to have come out like a coiled spring with all the energy and to go at, and we seemed to get into the final 20 metres and just keep turning back. It was as if the clock had gone back to part Potter, part Hooton, part Hippier, and it was hopeless. And I'm not joking, there are dyed-in-the-wool fans around us in the North Stand who were walking out after 70 minutes because it was very, very obvious what was going to happen. And it was pretty shocking, to be honest. And I've not heard a view that's much different to that. So I can only imagine that the Amex are ordering 3 or 4 sets of new teacups, because there cannot be any left in that dressing room. There simply can't be.
Wedgie, do you know what? One thing I wish you'd do a little bit more is not sit on the fence.
Yeah.
We want to hear your opinion, okay? And don't just go either way.
Okay, I get it. I get the idea. I'll try.
No, excellent. So what about today? Obviously, we're in the cup. If we get 3 points, I'll be really happy to take away 3 points as well, if we can add them to our tally and also to our goal difference. It has to be said, we're 10 goal difference above Man United as we speak at this moment in the league, which a few Man United fans I was talking to this week were very aggrieved about. And I just reminded them that at least 4 of that was because we beat them 3-1 at theirs as well. So, what about today? What do you reckon about today?
It's going to be an interesting one. I think Wilder is an intelligent organiser of his resources. He will have crawled all over what Gary O'Neill did with Wolves in the week. If he chooses to copy some of that, he can make it very difficult for us. It's very obvious that Wolves recognised we had no extreme pace on the flanks.
Yeah.
So they played an arrowhead defence and forced us into the flanks, and we ran into dead ends.
Yep.
The centre of the field was packed with their triangle defence, so it was hard to play passes through the middle. And Wilder will see all that, and he's an intelligent man at grinding teams out and grinding down. So I don't think it's going to be at all easy today. Yep. I'm not sure we'll have much new resource back ready to start. But one thing has to be sure, which is De Zerbi being a cup game, he has to give them free rein to take more risks than we did against Wolves, to press harder, to take the risks in the final third, to shoot on sight, and to go at it like a cup tie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I expect a different type of game, but I don't expect it to be any easier than the Wolves encounter was.
And one question we've been talking about before we switched on the recorder was, if you could take a win today or a win against Luton, which would you take?
This is an interesting question because I saw the poll on North Stand Chat, which I voted on. And I had to say, you have to think about it. It's not an easy, quick answer. The answer for me is I'd rather win today. I'd quite like to be in European competition next year. And to do that, we've either got to win the Europa League or finish in the top seven or win the FA Cup. This is potentially our easiest route into Europe as it currently stands, because teams like Villa are having such a good year. Newcastle and Chelsea beginning to bounce back. So getting a place in the top seven is bloody difficult. Winning the Europa League with Liverpool and people like that still in there is bloody difficult.
Yeah.
Winning the FA Cup, sod it, with Spurs losing to Man City last night, is also bloody difficult.
Yeah.
But I voted, I'd actually rather win today than Tuesday night, if we could only allow to be had one win. But I'm going to Luton again on Tuesday night, and it's the one week game where I can be home 20 minutes after the final whistle.
So I'm quite at Milton Keynes.
Well, Bedfordshire, so I'm quite looking forward to that. But yeah, I think today is pretty massive, and I'd like to think that that's the way De Zerbi deploys his resources, to say we're going to go hard at this in a cup game. He wants to win it.
It would be nice as a club to have to buy some polish for something, wouldn't it? To have something in the trophy cabinet, or to even build our first trophy cabinet.
I think all we've got is like Champions of England in something like 1911. We won the Community Shield thing. So we've got
been
that.
A bridesmaid a lot, haven't we? We've never been the bride. Yeah.
And we've won the Sussex County Cup a few times, but we've never really won any proper silverware. And I'd really love it.
Excellent. Thanks ever so much, Wedgie. Good to hear your opinion. As ever, forthright. Moving round the table then, next to me, we've got Courtney. So, Courtney, what are your feelings about today? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's promising prospects. I'd like to think, unlike when we play them in the league in 3 weeks' time, we can go all out today and really try and hammer them and see how it goes. And if we lose in the process, then there's no harm done. But hopefully get a good resounding win on the board.
Excellent. And which players do you reckon have got an opportunity to shine today?
I think Buonanotte will play again, and he needs to show more than Monday. It's probably already been said. If it hasn't, I'd be surprised. But very much a case of he's got a big chance. And I think Ferguson's got something to prove as well. Yeah. Seemed a bit under the weather, away from it recently.
Yeah,
chance for him to get some goals.
He seemed a little bit under it when I saw him at Stoke as well. He just didn't. And I know you, Andy Wedgie was saying the same about him on Monday as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's very much a case of he needs to show it tonight, today, that he can get that done and he can get past it. But otherwise, it's going to be much of the same, because we don't have much of a squad until a few injuries come back. And I can't imagine he's going to risk anyone nearly ready to come back on a game like today. Yeah. So we'll have to see what comes of it.
In the press conference, he was saying that he doesn't think Fatty's ready to come back, but possibly... there was
Igor.
Igor
might make a bit of time. I mean, Fatty definitely isn't worth the risk. You want him to be ready for Europe. You'd rather play him next weekend. It's a case of much the same, play with what we got and hopefully just put a bit more of a strong attacking performance together than we did against Wolves.
Do you want to make a prediction for today? I know predictions are always a bit of a poison chalice, really.
I'll go the same as the Stoke game, 4-2 to Brighton.
Wow, yeah, excellent. I think there'll definitely be goals. We definitely won't win 1-0. We'll have to score. There'll be a draw. And we really could do without a draw, couldn't we, and a replay.
The last thing we want is a replay. We really want to make sure that we get through next round easy. And if we don't get through, don't have another game. We've got a busy enough period coming up. Let's keep it easy.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks very much, Courtney. So, Andy, what's your prediction then?
I don't know.
Sitting on the fence again, do you reckon a 0-0? He's gone silent on me now. He seems to have forgotten that podcasting isn't... So I'm going to have to push you, Andy. So what do you reckon?
I think we're going to make a mistake and Sheffield Wednesday will score a goal against the run of play.
It sounds a bit like the Stoke game.
To go one ahead.
Yeah.
I think we'll equalise soon in the second half. We'll get a second one with about 10 to go and a third one in injury time. 3-1 Albion, 3 points, off we go.
There we go.
Not
watch Traitors. So Nick's a big fan of Traitors. He's been giving spoilers to me in the car on the way here. So do you reckon that sounds like Traitors then, do you?
Yeah, that was traitorous talk, that very first prediction. No, like I said, 2-0, no problems at all.
He's pissed.
He did have a very heavy he's night last pissed. Night, which we omitted in the car on the way over. But I was driving, just to reassure you.
Can I give it away? What, who won Traitors on this podcast? You think it's too soon?
I think it might be a little bit too soon. I think you might possibly alienate all of the Brighton Rock Pod podcasts. Although the amount of time it takes Russell to edit it and all of that sort of stuff, most people might have caught up with it by then. Excellent. So, Nick, what do you reckon to the beer engine here in Sheffield?
Yeah, it's very, very good. I wish I could have had a few more. I'm just not feeling up to it right now. But
well, make good choices, Nick. That's all I can say. Yeah, really, really good tapas. I had a lovely, and I sound so Sussex, middle class here, but I had a lovely halloumi and beetroot salad in my tapas here. So, and a wonderful raspberry sour.
Say that we're in Sheffield and there's a pub and it's then no one here doing the full Monty. Wedge, full Monty, fella.
Okay, a very good job again that this is an audio medium. So I'm gonna cut out now and I'm gonna find someone else to talk to. Okay, so we've now got Alan here in the beer engine. First of all, Alan, how was the food and what did you have to eat?
Oh yeah, it's a very nice little tapas, but it's got a Korean chicken, a dirty fries, very good.
They look really nice. I was very jealous.
Oh yeah, but very, very spicy.
Really hot.
So I was quite pleased. I had my Rotator Hazy IPA, which was very tasty.
Yeah.
So I'm on to my third pint of that.
Oh, excellent. I've just got a nice orange chocolate stout, which, again, is just really to annoy Nick, but that's okay. I don't mind.
Yeah, and it's a lovely place. It's called the Beer Engine in Sheffield. I'm not sure if you mentioned this before.
Yeah. And there's a load of Brighton fans in here, and actually there's a few Blades fans as well, and yeah, having a good time from the look of it. Yeah,
it's quite funny. It's, whenever you come to these away games, you see the same Albion supporters every time.
I think there's a certain type of Albion fan that seeks out the Craft Ale pub or whatever that's near there, and we're quite good at finding that, aren't we? So.
Yeah, it's quite funny because you recognise them, but you don't actually know who they are. You've never spoken to them before, but
absolutely. Although they might be listeners, who knows? So, well, they're very welcome to be here. So, coming on to the match then, Alan, what's your hopes for the game? Are there any players you'd like to see a bit more from, or to see a bit of flair, or what's your kind of hopes for today?
Well, one thing for sure, I think Pascal Gross will probably play. I mean, he's already on the team sheet to start with,
yeah,
so he'll
play. His name's already chosen, isn't it?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, I think Evan Ferguson, we really get some more out of him. I'm really hoping he's going to turn the corner and get some little bit of form because he's a little bit off it. The other player I'm kind of interested to see how he gets on is actually Yael Pedro, because before the break he was actually starting to hit some really good form.
Yep.
In the game against Wolves, I'm not sure if he's quite on it enough. So hopefully he's not going to go hit a little bit of a stale patch. I'm hoping he's going to kind of...
Because yeah. I mean, with Ferguson also struggling to score, we don't need Pedro in the same boat, do we?
No. So I think hopefully Pedro's going to do it. And he's got quite a good record in the Cup. I mean, he obviously scored two against Stoke. He's got a few goals in the Europa League as well.
Yeah. He scored two at Stoke.
Yep, so hopefully you kind of continue that kind of rich fame of form. Yeah, it's hopeful there. Let's see if Tarek comes back on, and I'm hoping to see Jakob Moda maybe start even.
Right, yeah.
That would be quite nice to see him start. I was looking at him in training. I was disappointed he didn't come on against Wolves, but he's looking a little bit more sprightlier. To me, he seems to have lost a little bit of weight, actually, since when I first saw him in the training sessions, in those first games when he started to come on, he looked like he had a little bit of timber on him, but actually, when I saw him in training in the Dubai sessions and then afterwards, he looks like he's lost a little bit of weight, so he's starting to look a bit leaner and a bit fitter, so hopefully he might come on and have a go as well. So let's see how he gets on.
Okay, and lastly, what's your prediction for today? And they're always a poison chalice, these predictions, but you've got to do one anyway, okay?
Yeah, well, we've got to go for a win. I mean, I'm not going to pick anything other than that, but I think maybe it could be either 2-0 or 2-1 to the Albion. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks, Alan. And right next to Alan, we've got Mo. Who I've sat next to a few times up in the Upper West Stand when I've been sitting with my friend Duncan. And so, Mo, what are your thoughts about today?
Yeah, so my thought about today, I would like us to win because it's very difficult against Sheffield United. If you look at our historical games against them, they did actually better than us. So winning against them today would be like a very, very good...
Yeah, nice.
Very nice, yeah.
A nice thing, yeah. A question I was talking to Wedgie about was if you could take a win today or a win against Luton, which would you go for?
I would take a win today.
A win today?
Because a win against Luton wouldn't change a lot, to be honest, yeah?
Yeah.
We'd still be 7th or 8th, you know?
Yeah.
So a win today will take us to the next round of FA Cup, yeah. So
And of course, what I didn't say was, ideally, of course, we'd like to win both. But it's but if we had one choice and that was it, then... Brilliant, right. Well, thanks ever so much, Mo. 30 minutes in, scores 2-0. Pedro's just scored a penalty and we're 2-0 up. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, I predicted 2-0, but we haven't won this yet. We have had two open goals that they've missed. Well, it looked like open goals from our angle.
We're two rows back behind the goal again, right in the dead centre of the goal.
You'll see us on telly, won't you? But their left winger is still dangerous. This game isn't over yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've looked best, ironically, down the right wing. Our right wing, their left as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting game, this. But at the moment, we're all over them, without a doubt. But they can hit us on the break. They've lobbed the ball over a couple of times and caught us napping.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to lose this by a mistake, not because they're better.
We're not going to lose this, hopefully. The Fergie's had a goal disallowed as well.
Yeah. Tell you what, Fergie... from our angle, he's looking great, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And Billy Gilmore. Silky sweet. And not to mention a great block from Igor as well.
Yeah. Oh, that bit of skill right at the very beginning when he twisted on it. It's fantastic.
Obviously, Pascal Gross has been treating the young lad some skills, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
We're going to get back to the match.
Yeah.
So it's half-time, and at 43 minutes, I said to Nick... Now, what we really want to do is to make sure we don't concede a goal and let them go in 2-1 up at half-time. And then what happened?
They scored two in about 4 minutes. It's hilarious. You got to laugh, though, haven't you? Because this is typically Brighton.
Absolutely. I mean, well, admittedly, it took them about 10 minutes to finish the half. Yeah, so yeah. I think it said 56 on the clock or whatever when they got to half-time. But ironically, you said it was their left wing, our right wing, that was susceptible, but they came twice down the same side, didn't they?
Down the other
side. Absolutely did us.
Yeah, down the other side. Is that pretty much carbon copy? I mean, so frustrating, isn't it?
It's the life of being a Brighton fan, isn't it? Where you think you're sailing through 83% possession at the point of their first goal and totally in control. And now we're going in half-time. It's 2-all and all to play for all over again.
Well, maybe that's not a good thing, but being 2-all means that we're not going to be sitting back hanging on. We're going to have to go for it again. So maybe that's a good thing in a sense. I still think we can win this. I mean, we are a better team. It's just the momentum shift at the end there was amazing.
Absolutely. Just like we said, how quickly it can change in football, the feeling and the perception.
They look like world beaters at the end, didn't they? And we look like Muppets.
Yep.
But
we were really scrappy and passing around there. Yeah. And yeah, we just sort of went from being a team with our heads in the air and really dominant to just sort of... Yeah,
and now their crowd's up for it, and so it's all going to be it's going to be a difficult second half. I think we'll win it 4-2 now.
Yeah, and they very rightly sang to us 2-0, and you messed it up, effed it up.
And you can't disagree. Both goals went to. They must have been close offside. They took a long time.
Both goals went to VAR, didn't they? Yeah. And that second goal, it looked offside because they showed us the replay, and it did look really offside in the ground.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it was given in the end because clearly the player was in front when he was heading it.
Okay, so it is what it is. I mean, but this is Brighton all over. This is the way we play. We look so open to these attacks down these wings. But because we have so much possession, it didn't look like a threat, did it?
Yeah.
And, but the two times they really got at us, they scored, so...
But we seem to be a bit vulnerable on both of the two wings with the three in the middle.
Yeah.
They've managed to get behind Estupiñán or Hinchelwood, depending on which side they're on. Yeah. And then that leaves us vulnerable at the back, doesn't it?
Yeah. But on the positive side, Billy Gilmour has looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Buonanotte looked good. That goal looked great. You know, up front we're looking great, but... just that side.
Got to back it up at the back, yeah.
Yeah.
And with Dunk on the bench, we can just see him warming up to our right at the minute.
Yeah.
Trying to think, do we bring Dunk on now? Anyway, here we come. We're out. We're out for the second up. We've had about 5 minutes of a half time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're back at it again.
Come on, Brighton.
Come on, the Albion. So, oh my word, what a second half. So it's now 4-2, 69th minute to us, because this might change.
Yeah, at the moment it's 4-2. This could just as easily go 4-all.
Dunk's come on, Igor's gone off. Igor did really well. We reckon he's just been taken off at 60 minutes just because he's...
Don't finish
it. Here we go. Pedro's got a hat-trick, but Pedro's now got it on the...
Hang on. Wait.
Oh, and Bonasse just had it at his feet. From that, from the cross, oh my word. The excitement, my nails.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. This is like attack versus defence, all backwards and forwards, isn't it? It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's just...
he's amazing. Here we go, it's their turn now.
And they're coming down the wings. Both teams. Obviously playing three at the back, we look vulnerable on the wings. And
yeah, but they took their number 11. I can't remember his name, but they're taking him off.
Yeah.
And he's not quite as strong down this right wing anymore, are they?
Yeah. No. But he must have got tired, which is why they replaced him.
He's off now.
So there goes Buonanotte. He's coming off.
Lamperty's
coming on. Oh, and Tarek.
Makes sense. He looked a bit knackered.
He did, and that ball just came to his feet. And
too quick.
I don't know. I think I might have even been able to score that. All he had to do was fall over the line with it. But
we've had a few open goals in front of us, haven't we? They've had a few, and we've had a few.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been that type of game, really.
Been a great game. I said I think we'd be first on Match of the Day tonight.
No, we're not, because Maidstone are going to be first, beating Liverpool, beating Ipswich.
Well, it's made up for Wolves, this, isn't it?
We've proved we can score. Right, we'll come back later. All together. Yeah! Danny Welbeck scores the fifth. 2 minutes left of added on time. I was just getting a bit of atmos, and then came Danny Welbeck down in the channel just to the right of the goal as he ran towards us. Pops it in, up, hits the keeper, bounces in.
Absolutely.
We've got five.
2-0 and we fucked it up.
2-2 and they messed it up. Daddy Welbeck.
We fucked it up 2-0.
Oh, they had a shot there for Brugge. They either saved it or just tipped it onto the bar.
This
I'm not
is an
quite
amazing
sure.
Game,
We've got about, well, there's 7 seconds left on the clock, but whether or not.
This literally could have been 5-5, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those games. Yeah. There we go, it's the final whistle. And the final score, 2-5 to the Albion. And we're one step closer to Wembley. The question has to be, Nick,
Would you have taken 4-2 just for one goal for us against Wolves? I think any fan would have taken that, wouldn't we? Unfortunately, we've not distributed our goals very evenly this week.
Well, we made up for that. That was a brilliant game, that, wasn't it?
Great game. What a great game. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I shouldn't do that.
Some boos and jeers for that ref as he walked off, but to be honest, he got much wrong. He was fairly fair, let the game go. Here come the team towards us. So we're on Penistone Road North, heading back to Manchester, and Rochdale heading north out of Sheffield in the car with 5 goals in our top pocket, 3 points, yeah. 3 points, and we're in the hat for the next round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, good game that, enjoyed it. I mean, it could, like we said, when we were in the ground, that could have gone 5-3, 5-4, I never felt fully in control in that game.
Even though we had so much of the possession, we just felt a bit vulnerable at the back, didn't we? And Roberto De Zerbi, in his interview, we'd just been listening to Radio Sussex on the way out of town, in the traffic, and Roberto De Zerbi was, you know, he wants Pedro to be better. He was saying how good he thought Billy Gilmore's getting, and it was good to see Tarek Lamptey get 20 minutes, and he seemed to play well. Anything else you spotted particularly?
No, I just thought Igor was fantastic today.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, like I said to you, those tree trunk legs.
I think you've got a bit of a man crush on him.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, no, but he could. I would love him to see him hit a ball and fly into the back of the net. I'd imagine it'd be like a steam hammer.
Yeah.
But no, I thought, you know, that sort of crazy 5 minutes at the end of the second half, upside, we looked comfortable, didn't we, in terms of winning it in the end. But during the game, God, it was like backwards and forwards. I still feel sorry for Fergie, you know, just not falling for him, although he played sick to play all right.
And 3 offsides went to VAR in the game. Yeah. 2 of them were granted, and they were both Sheffield United goals. And the one, of course, that goes against this is the one against Fergie.
Yeah.
And there you go. Even though it was called offside on the pitch at the time. So, it looks like. One thing that I surprised that the Sheffield United fans really didn't like the ref. Yeah. But I thought, to be fair, I didn't really notice him as much, and the VAR endorsed all of his decisions as well. They didn't go against it. Now, whether or not there's anything controversial, we don't know until we get home. But he seemed to do a fairly decent job, I thought. Let the game flow fairly freely.
Yeah, and all his decisions, like you say, were endorsed by VAR. And I'd go back to it, VAR ruins that game.
Yeah.
It just killed all the goal celebrations that they had.
Yeah.
And then you compare that to Stoke, where there was none of that. And a far more enjoyable game.
And we had like 10 minutes extra of that first half. So much so that half time we barely had time to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then get back to our seats. And then it seemed to be a team was coming out.
I know. But what we've got to mention is João Pedro and his hat-trick. I hope you can spot it on the TV, but on that second penalty when he took it right in front of us,
you could see his face.
He was smiling before he hit it because he knew it was going in.
He's so confident.
It was fantastic. I wonder if the TV will pick it up though, but that was absolutely superb.
I've got it on video. I absolutely hate people that watch everything, whether it be gigs or football matches, to their phones, but I thought I might never get the chance to do this again, and that's film a João Pedro penalty.
Yeah.
So I did hold it down, though, although I tried to watch him, but I haven't watched it back yet.
And at the end, when he was doing the bows and that, and everyone was going, wee.
He
was so pleased with himself.
There was a hat-trick of cheers each time that he did it, and he was the one cheerleading today. It was Van Heck last time at Stoke, and today it was João Pedro. And I think another special mention also to the crowd.
Oh, God.
Great support today.
Yeah.
It was bedlam in that concourse, the old stadium. It just felt like, if you suffer from claustrophobia, do not go to away games at that type of ground.
No.
Because you just feel really really hemmed in, just took forever. You just have to be patient, take your time, and it was fine. But what a great turnout today.
I know, full away end, absolutely brilliant, brilliant support again. Yeah, can't, so, like I say, I think it's underrated, our away support.
Yeah, yeah.
That must have been 4,000 or 5,000 in there.
I don't know how many it was, but that whole stand was full, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And in good voice. We had some great banter with the stewards at the front. The stewards were all for throwing back the Brighton Hove Albion beach ball and then boo the nasty supervisor.
Told them off
for giving it. So we were all giving, I saw one guy give one of the stewards a lovely hug.
Yeah.
And it just felt so warm and friendly, and we were sort of smiling and laughing with them as we were going. So hopefully we've left a nice flavour in the mouth of those stewards compared to the next time that Sheffield United play Millwall or Chelsea.
Yeah. Who do you think we should, or what, who do we want?
So here we go. We're still in the hat. I think I've heard that Leeds drew, so they're still in the hat, so they've got a replay, so we might possibly end up against Leeds. I suppose ideally the club would love to have Maidstone at home, and Maidstone having done the giant killing and killed Leeds, killed Ipswich in the Championship. They're not going to be able to continue that, are they?
No,
that was their kind of thing. That was their Wembley. But I suppose also what you don't want is, you don't want to be away at City, do you?
No, we want to avoid City. I've said we want to obviously avoid City.
Yep.
Well, we want to avoid any Premier League team, but the one team I think we should also want to avoid is Leicester away. I think they're they're not one we want either.
But, yeah, they're one of the bogey teams, aren't they? Whether or not, I don't remember seeing us beat Leicester. I know we've beaten them, but I don't know that I've seen us beat them. That's the problem.
But it's we're still in still in three comps.
UEFA League,
FA
Cup,
and going for sixth in the Prem
and the Premier League. I think we possibly aren't going to win the Premier League.
I think
that might be a bit of a big ask.
Yeah.
But having said that, after the extra 3 points today, who knows? I suppose that's everything from us. So thanks ever so much, Russ, for letting us guest on the match day special. Hope you enjoy our musings, and it's great. Thanks also to all the noisy boys who gave their input and their opinions in the pub. And Alan, special mention to Alan, who nearly got the score absolutely nailed on with 4-2, but just missed out by one goal. Danny Welbeck ruining that one for him. But there we go. So great stuff. All the best. Stand or fall?
Up the Albion.
Yes, so thank you there to Alistair and to Nick for guest presenting for the Match Day special. It's a shame I couldn't have gone up. I was there for the Stoke game 4-2. At one point, we had another 4-2 scoreline, but with a late final goal from Danny Welbeck then, it turned out to be a 5-2 win. 9 goals from 2 games already in the FA Cup. Could we end up being this season's top scorers in the competition? Well, perfectly feasible, but we'd have to go deep into the competition. And the news since that match day special is that we have now been drawn away again, third time in a row, this time at Wolverhampton Wanderers. So it's progressively tougher opposition, on paper at least, from round to round for us. Wolves themselves came through a 2-0 win away at arch rivals West Bromwich Albion at the Hawthorns, a match that was tarnished by a 38-minute suspension in play when, apparently, an away fan, a Wolves fan, was in the home end and celebrated one of the goals, I think the second goal, which kicked things off in the crowd. There was some violence and disturbances in the corner between the supporters, a bit of an ugly end to the match. That was in the 83rd minute as well this occurred, so it's just 7 or 8 minutes more to play at the time. Pretty irritating for all concerned, I'm sure. Anyway, Wolves got through, we've drawn them away. Our record is pretty good against them still, despite the frustrating home draw recently, and our away record particularly good. A fantastic resounding win there earlier in the season. I certainly much prefer us to replicate that than the result of the home game that we had with them recently. But we'll see what happens. We just got to beat whoever we get given. And so it's not an easy one. I was hoping personally for Maidstone, who absolutely sensationally 1 away to Ipswich. Ipswich, freshly promoted from a resounding promotion campaign in League One last season, they have hit the ground running in their first season back in the Championship for a few years. They're second place in the table, ahead of two teams that have got relegated last season and are very strong in resource. That's Southampton and Leeds, and are only several points behind runaway leaders Leicester. A superb start to the season for Ipswich. Home advantage. They've not got to the fifth round for so many years. It's bizarre. You thought this was all nailed on for them to do so as they drew National League South mid-table opposition in Maidstone United. But no, Maidstone, despite only having a couple of chances, meaningful chances, on target, scored with both of them. A delightful chip finish on the counter-attack, one-on-one with the goalkeeper from Reynolds. And then when the score had been pegged back to 1-1 with one of 30, I think it was 33 attempts on goal by Ipswich, they scored their only one to equalise, but it wasn't enough because Korn grabbed the winner. He'd grabbed the winner in the last round. He did it again in this as well with a well-worked goal and a great finish. 2-1, fantastic occasion. Over 4,000 fans at Maidstone. One bizarre incident where a fan decided to sort of go gliding on the partition between the upper and lower tiers, a sort of like a canvas material, and unintentionally, he ended up rolling off it into the tier below. It wasn't a huge drop, but probably wasn't great in terms of ideas of what to do on the match day. Hopefully he's all right, but that was a bit of a bizarre moment. Other than that, a fantastic day out for all those concerned at Maidstone. I was hoping for them, home or away, particularly away, because along with Wrexham, those were the only two feasible away days which would tick off a new ground for me. Never seems to work out for me that way in the FA Cup, with so many grounds already ticked off from the usual 92. So, yes, disappointment on that score on a personal level and disappointment with the draw because it could have been easier. But I think we can win it, and I really hope we do. Thanks again, then, to Alistair and to Nick for guest presenting. It's on to Luton next, away from home. A tricky fixture, and we really need another win. We haven't got a good ratio of wins in recent weeks. That's to come next, and then, of course, it's the big one versus that lot at the Amex on Saturday. We'll do a podcast between the Luton and Palace games. That'll be our next one. But in the meantime, thanks for listening as always. If you can rate us, remember, please do if you can. 5 stars would all help us here, either on Apple or on Spotify or indeed any other platforms. And, oh, one more thing as well. Recording this on Monday morning, tonight, Monday night, if you are listening to this before the event happens, and if you happen to be able to be in London, don't forget there is the Peter Ward night for Seagulls Over London. I'm a member and committee member on Seagulls Over London, have been for years. We've had many great guests through the years, and we've got one of the absolute greats tonight, a genuine and full-on Albion legend, Peter Ward. He's over here for his dad's 90th birthday up in Derby, but he's going to take the trouble to travel over to London for the event tonight as well while he's over in town, so to speak, and we're looking forward to a fantastic evening. We'll probably get a bit of audio from that as well, actually. But either way round, thank you for listening, and we move on to the next episode. As I said, between Luton and Crystal Palace, that'll be the next one. So until then, stand or fall, up the Albion. Sports Social Podcast Network.